Hi, my name is Whitney Johnson. I'm the medical director of La Familia Medical Center in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I don't get any money from the Suboxone makers. So we have as many places do, but actually worse than a lot of places, we have a really, really bad opioid problem. Opioid dependence problem in New Mexico. So the bottom line is that between 2000 and 2014, the rate of age-adjusted overdose deaths in the United States. The black lines there, UI is unintentional, and the other is all intent. So the difference in those lines is basically the very, very clear cases of suicide, but you can see most of the cases are unintentional overdoses. The black lines are for New Mexico, about twice the national average, and the red line on top-ish is Santa Fe County, where I live, and the slope is even, kind of looks like in recent years, trending a little steeper than certainly U.S. and even maybe than New Mexico. Hard to say with a smaller population. Santa Fe County population is about 150,000. So some other interesting trends about the epidemic in New Mexico. From 2000 and 2014, the overdose death rate increased among women from 84 to 222, which is 238%. And most of that, again, unintentional overdose. The increase in men was only 52%. And you can see that displayed graphically here to see how much the overdose rate in women now is about two-thirds of that of men. And about 180% increase in death among women compared to men. The other disturbing trend about the opioid epidemic, again, really this is true much more in New Mexico than other places, is reaching down to younger and younger age groups. So 6.6% of our high schoolers, the first column is Santa Fe high school students, have ever used heroin. And pretty shockingly, 5.8% used in the last 30 days. That's compared to 0.1% for the United States overall. 6.5% have ever injected drugs. And you can see the numbers for Santa Fe is about three times, or two or three times at least, than the national numbers, and higher in almost all cases than the New Mexico numbers overall. So we see a epidemic in New Mexico that's getting more and more equalized in terms of gender, more and more women having the effects of opioid dependence, and we see it reaching younger and younger age groups. So the effect of this is you've got a lot of pregnant women, you've got a lot of unintentional pregnancies, a lot of teen pregnancies that are related to this, and a lot of babies being born to women who are using opioids. And this is the rate of neonatal abstinence syndrome by hospital discharge per 1,000 live births in New Mexico overall and in Santa Fe between 2009 and 2013. So you can see in Santa Fe there's been a really steep increase and also in New Mexico. We had a really bad year in 2012. We have about 1,200 live births per year, give or take, in Santa Fe. So the numbers are pretty close to the actual numbers. So we had about 20 plus women in 2012, probably around 10 or 11 women in 2013 who were born. We have one hospital in Santa Fe, and so it's probably mostly born at Christus, St. Vincent's Hospital, which is our hospital in Santa Fe. So the rates are really going up. At La Familia Medical Center, where I'm the medical director, we're the largest primary care FQHC in Santa Fe, very family medicine-based model. We see about 14,000 patients per year, which is about 15% of the Santa Fe population. We have four sites, including we oversee healthcare for the homeless for Santa Fe County. And unusually, really, anymore in this day and age, we're full-service family practice. So we do the deliveries in the hospital. We take care of a lot of our patients in the hospital. And our providers do about 400 deliveries a year, family practitioners and one nurse midwife right now, which is about a third of the total deliveries that happen at Christus St. Vincent's Hospital. And we have an integrated behavioral health model with ESPRT, which is a rapid screening and referral program for hopefully all patients once a year. We looked at the numbers that I just showed you around the opioid epidemic in New Mexico, and we decided we really needed to do something. So we started in late 2013 with a grant from Santa Fe County. Really, we got our first patients in December, January 2014. I think our first delivery was not until January of 2014. The first step in putting together a medically assisted treatment program inside of a primary care clinic was to get our providers the data waiver, which to provide Suboxone, buprenorphine treatment for anyone really, to be able to prescribe that as a family practitioner, you need to get special training and a special DEA number from the federal government to be able to do that. And seven providers went through that training and got what's called their X number, a DEA special number to allow you to prescribe. And for those of you who don't know, very quickly, traditionally in the United States, medically assisted treatment has been done mostly with methadone. And methadone is a fine method of medically assisted treatment, but for pregnant women, increasingly we're seeing that probably buprenorphine is a much better method of getting people a kind of a treatment for their dependence, their opioid dependence, which doesn't really cause the same kind of high. It's long acting, so it's not the same kind of high and low and withdrawal symptom as actually heroin or OxyContin or other kinds of opioids. And it also is an agonist, a partial agonist. So it doesn't really, in a way of turn on the opioid receptor all the way. But it satisfies the cravings, prevents withdrawal, and it's really even keel. So especially for the fetus, it's been proven with a lot of experience in Europe to be very safe in pregnancy. And so we focused our program, because we do so much OB, on pregnant women. There's one well-known program in New Mexico, Milagro program in Albuquerque, but really not much access for pregnant women who wanted to get off heroin and have safe pregnancies outside of Albuquerque, which is about an hour drive away from Santa Fe. Not really feasible, hard if you live in Santa Fe, to get your OB care there. We also, as an FQHC, as a federally qualified health center and a community clinic that focuses on primary care, you know, we didn't do this as a standalone thing. We did this as an extension of primary care, which when you look at those numbers of opioid addiction in New Mexico, you realize it has to be a part of primary care. Those of us who practice primary care have to respond to this epidemic, especially in New Mexico, but almost anywhere in the country, I would say. And so what we do is we integrate it into primary care. So women who come into our clinic, just like, you know, we assess somebody if they have diabetes, if they have this, if we have that, we don't put them over in a corner in a special program. We treat all their problems the same way we would treat any other disease that they have. We provide them with prenatal care. You know, we do all the other kinds of primary care that they need and provide them with addiction treatment. Thank you. So we focused on pregnant women, recently postpartum women and their families, because we wanted to make sure that that group of people had fast access to treatment. And we decided if we had other capacity, we'd also open up to our existing patients. We got, as I said, a grant from Santa Fe County, which allowed us also to get good case management, community health workers also working with us to help us do intakes for patients, do the sometimes difficult work of getting prior authorizations for buprenorphine. And because we have in-house behavioral health integrated, we also started some support groups specifically for pregnant women, support groups specifically for partners, and some in-house counseling one-on-one as well, and behavioral health assessments. So our program includes a fast track for pregnant women, where they get an intake appointment and a provider visit within days. They get induction, which unfortunately when you're talking about pregnant women and buprenorphine, it's the same word. But induction means starting them on the buprenorphine within the first week that they come in. They have to get all their prenatal care at La Familia. But the behavioral health assessment can happen after induction. We really want to get people actually, obviously, off of heroin and on to buprenorphine as quickly as possible. Other patients, partners, family members, existing patients in their practice, or if they're existing, they don't have to do this, but other people, believe me, people heard about this and we started doing it, and we got an influx of a lot of patients in Santa Fe who wanted to be in this program. Need to kind of come through the normal channels just like everybody else. They need to establish as a new patient, and they need to get all their primary care at La Familia, and we will assess them for the program in a more, not in such an urgent way. And all patients get naloxone, co-prescribed, and we're also starting to do that a lot with our opioid patients as well. Weekly counseling, urine drug screen at every visit. We really, postpartum, pay attention to making sure people women and are on contraception. We actually also ask men about that too. We check their prescription monitoring program. We have a program in New Mexico, and we do other kinds of screenings for other things they might be at risk for, most prominently hepatitis and HIV, obviously. So the results in our program over the last about 2 years now that we've been doing it is that we've seen a total of 130 patients in the program, 70 are still enrolled, 50 patients have been discharged for non-compliance or relapse. That's about a 41% relapse rate. The other 10 have been transferred to other programs, which is pretty good. It's pretty difficult to find that information in the literature, but it seems like about a 50% relapse rate in Suboxone programs is fairly normal. We've provided over 3,000 doses of naloxone in 2014 and 2015. We also have naloxone, we distribute kind of street distribution of naloxone through our Healthcare for the Homeless program, so a lot of those have been through that program. So the results by patient type, really dramatically, of our pregnant and recently postpartum patients, we have had 69 patients in the program, 44 are still active, 23 have been in the program for 6 months to a year, 11 over a year, 17 have relapsed, two have graduated from the program, which means they've weaned off of Suboxone voluntarily. And that makes for a 25% relapse rate. So you can see pregnant women, for obvious reasons, are really motivated to treat their dependence and get off of heroin. And they've done great. Partners have done pretty well too. We've only had 12, 7 still active for about a 42% relapse rate. Of all the men that we've had in the program, 33 are still active and about a 52% relapse rate. And for other women who haven't been pregnant or recently postpartum, about a 50% relapse rate. We've had 38 babies born into the program since I did this. It changes every day. So the average length of stay is 6 days. And the average length of stay for neonatal abstinence syndrome for those babies that are born when their moms have been using either heroin or other opioids is about almost 17 days. And five of our kids have been low birth weight, under 2,500 grams, most of them just slightly under that. I'm like, really? 13.9% of a low birth weight. But again, this group is at particularly high risk for having low birth weight babies. So I know all the public health things that you guys will tell me about interpreting 1 year of data like this, but I'm still going to take credit for this. In New Mexico, the total number of drug overdoses increased from 2013 to 2014 by 19%. But in Santa Fe County, actually, the total number of drug overdose deaths decreased. And I really do think our program had something to do with that, not just the treatment access, but also the distribution of naloxone that we're doing. We distribute in Santa Fe and Rio Ripa County. Our program, Healthcare of the Homeless, distributes in both places. Almost half of the total naloxone doses that get distributed in the state come in that we do in our program. So aggressive distribution of naloxone and a pathway to treatment for those people who want to get into treatment. I really feel very strongly, thanks, that one, as I said in the beginning, every primary care practitioner should be doing this. I don't care if you're just seeing one or two people or the people who are already in your practice. You know, I do think if you're like me and the medical director of an FQHC, or you're in some kind of leadership position in a clinical setting, you know, to set up a program like this in a big clinic, you do need to have support. You do need to have community health workers or people doing case management, behavioral health. But, you know, you can refer out to behavioral health. We do that a lot, too. And you do need to have more than one provider doing it, but to do it on a larger scale. But I just think this is a huge problem in our society, and we have to, as primary care doctors, really acknowledge that and do something about it. Because we did something about creating this epidemic, so let's take responsibility. Thanks.
Thank you.